We're up to Torah Pei Beis and Likutei Moran Tanina. This chapter, before we begin, is very, very deep, and it's based on a chapter in the Kisvei Arizal, in the Eitz Chaim, which is one of the deeper portions of the Kisvei Arizal, which we'll see in terms of after we finish this shir, plus hopefully an additional shir or two. Hopefully there'll be a lot of things that'll become very, very clear. And the concepts that are mentioned in this chapter on Likutei Moran are very, very important foundations, yesodos, in terms of knowing the certain basic concepts within the teachings of the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal. Rabbeinu Zal bases this chapter on two psukim, a pasuk in the Chumash, ki seitze la melchama aloivecha, the pasuk says, when you'll go out to battle against your enemy, unesonoi Hashem alikecha biyodecha, and Hashem will turn over your enemy into your hands, vishoviso shivyoi, and you will take him captive. That's the one pasuk. Then Rabbeinu Zal begins by saying, ksiv, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, ochor vokedem tsartoni, Vatoshes olai kapecha. This is Odom Harishon speaking, and Odom Harishon says, Hashem, you created me front and back, Vatoshes olai kapecha, and you spread out your hands over me as a protection, as a covering to assist me. Now, this concept of Ocher Vokedem Tzartoni, we know that the Midrash tells us that when Hashem created Odom and Chava originally, they were created as Siamese twins, which means they were actually connected. They were back to back. This man and woman were created back to back, and they were connected by a certain rib that was connecting them together. At a certain point in time. So this is Ocher Vokedem. Odom Harishon says there was a Kedem. When I was created, I faced in a certain direction. Plus there was somebody else connected to my back that was backwards compared to me, compared to Odom Harishon. At a certain point in time, Hashem put Odom and Chavo into a Tardema, a sleep. And during that sleep, he disconnected them. And then they became male and female, Zohar and Akeva, where they were able to mate together, they were able to produce children, etc. Rabbeinu Zal says, this concept of Ocher Vokedem, back and front, Zebechinas Keseder Vishaloi Keseder. That's a concept of things going smoothly, things going properly, and things going improperly, shaloi kaseder, backwards, upside down, out of the ordinary, the wrong way. Rabbeinu Zal explains, kedem hu bechinas kaseder. When we use the term kedem, which means forwards, facing, frontways, that's a concept of kaseder. Bechinas aleph beis kaseder. For example, when we discuss the letters of the Aleph Beis, where we list the Aleph first, then the Beis, then the Gimel, then the Dalet, in that order, that's a Bechin of Keseder. That's a Bechin of Kedem. The Ocher, and when we use the term backwards or upside down, Hu Bechinas Tashrak, Shelo Keseder. That's a concept of going in reverse order. Tuf, Shin, Reish, Kuf, that's where we're taking the Aleph Beis backwards. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hu bechinas Shelo Keseder, the concept of Shelo Keseder, not in the right order. V'ze bechinas Odom v'chavo. This is also the concept of Odom Arishon and his wife Chavo. Keseder v'Shelo Keseder. There also we have a concept of going in order and backwards. One of the Mefarshim points out, we're going to learn several meanings of how Odom and Chava represent forwards and backwards. One basic item that you see right away is that in the word Odom, the letters of the Aleph Beis are Keseder. First comes an Aleph, then comes a Dalid, then comes a Mem. That's going in the right order, the Aleph Beis. The Aleph is in front of a Dalet, we know that, and a Dalet is in front of a Mem. Whereas when it comes to Chava, Ches is the eighth letter of the Aleph Beis, then the Vav, which is six, then the Hey, which is five. We're going backwards in reverse order. That's a small side comment. But Rabbi Nizal is going to show Al Pi Kabbalah, and in other ways, how Odom, Zohar, is a concept of Keseder, whereas Chavo, Nekevo, is a concept of Shaloi Keseder. Rabbi Nizal says that Odom is a concept of Havaya B'miloi Alfin, Gematria Mo. We know that Hashem's name, Yud Kevovke, can be written in several different ways. In the Zohar HaKadosh, in the writings of the Arizal, these tzaddikim were authorized to be able to teach us the secrets of Hashem's name. One of the items that's explained there is that Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, can be configured basically four different ways. When we look at it, b'miloi, filling out the letters, where each letter becomes a word, it can form four different gematrias. The highest one, for example, is called Havaya B'miloi Yudin. When we fill out certain letters, which can be filled out assorted different ways, a variety of different ways, when we use the letter Yud to fill it, that's the highest numerical value letter that we're going to use. For example, Havaya B'miloi Yudin is where the letter Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalid. The letter He is spelled He Yud. We know when Hey is written Hey Yud, it can be pronounced Hey. Vav is spelled Vav Yud Vav. Vav. And Hey is spelled Hey Yud. This is called Havaya B'milu Yudin, which has a numerical value of 72. It's Bigimatria 72. Av. Ov. Ayin Beis. There's another form where in place of the Yuds, we substitute Alephs. Yud is still spelled Yud Vav Dalid. He is spelled He Aleph. Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav. He is spelled He Aleph. This is called Havaya B'miloi Alfin. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. When we're filling out those letters that can be filled out possibly with a Yud, or possibly with a He, or possibly with an Aleph, we choose to fill them with Alephs. It's called Havaya B'miloi Alfin, which has a gematria of 45. Yud Vav Dalet is 20. He Aleph is 6, gives us 26. Vav Aleph Vav is 13. 26 plus 13 is 39. He Aleph is another 6, gives us 45. So Yud Vav Dalet, He Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, He Aleph is Bigimatria 45, which is Bigimatria Odom. Odom, man, is Bigimatria Yud Kei Vav Kei in this form of Alfin. Rabbi Nizal says, that's a Bechin of Keseder. That's a concept of Keseder. Whereas, Havaya v'chavo, hu bechinas malchus peh. Chavo is a concept of malchus, kingdom, which is associated with the mouth. V'toyrish shebal peh korinon lo. And it says in Posach Elio that toyrish shebal peh corresponds to chavo. Just about anything that exists in this world can be divided into Zohar and Nekeva. The Zohar HaKadosh says that everything in this world is basically the Zohar and Nekeva. Even items that aren't humans or animals, even in inanimate objects, we have a concept of Zohar and Nekeva. So that, for example, when we talk about day and night, day is a concept of Zohar, night is a concept of Nekeva. Proof is, V'laylo l'laylo yechave doas. One night speaks to another night, das. We see chavo is associated with laila. And there are many proofs. Oyer and choshech, light and darkness, Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. Because the Arizal says in many of his forum that whenever we talk about Zohar and Akeva, for example, when we talk about Hashem, kavyocho, and we use the term l'shem yichud kutche barichu shchentei, that one of the purposes of our doing mitzvahs is to unite Hashem and the Shekhinah, kaviyochol, a male and female, are we saying chas v'shalom that there exists a concept of two by Hashem? No way. When we use the term zohar and nekeva within Kabbalah, it's being used to refer to a mashpia, a koyach hamashpia, and a koyach hamekabel, a concept of giving and a concept of receiving, taking. The male is always the one that gives, the one that provides. The female is the one that receives, the one that accepts. That's the concept of zohar and nekeva, keseder and shaloi keseder, Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. The Gemara says in Tainus, leka dovor deloi remiza boi raisa, that the Torah shebalpeh is nothing without the Torah shebichsav. The whole basis for the Torah shebalpeh receives its whole kedusha and its whole light from the Torah shebichsav. That's the zohar, which is mashpia into the nekeva, into the nukva. Rabbi Nazal says now, so chava is a concept of malchus peh, and it's called Torah shebal peh. Rabbi Nazal says, v'chava loshen dibur. Chava refers to speech. We know that women, the Gemara says, have 9/10 of speech. Rabbi Nazal says, there's a kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'laylo lelaylo yechave doas. So we see that chava is a concept of laylo, and chavo is a concept of dibur. Yechave means to speak in Hebrew over there. So that chavo, the female, is a bechin of dibur. Hainu malchus peh. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how the seven midos of Hashem, chesed through malchus, can be found even within the head itself. Even when we talk about the head alone, there are what are known as Sfirois Elyonim and Sfiras HaTachtonim. There is a concept of the Midos of Hashem, the characteristics of Hashem, corresponding to seven different parts of the body, including the feet, the hands, etc. There's also certain times when we refer to the seven qualities of Hashem, the seven Midos of Hashem, as referring to the eyes. As referring to the seven openings of the head. The two eyes represent chesed and gevura. The nose is a concept of tiferes. The lips are called netzach and hoid. The tongue is called yisoid. And the koyach hadibur, speech, is called malchus. Speech itself is malchus. So we see that the peh represents malchus, kingdom. Rabbi Nazal says, ki ha-malchus nikro dibur, because malchus is called dibur, speech. Why? Al shem ki ein melech b'lo yam, because we know that malchus is a very unique characteristic. When we talk about a person being strong, or being smart, or being beautiful, that's not something that depends on anybody else. An individual person can be described as strong or smart. When we say a person is king, kingdom is dependency on somebody else. You can't go into a room, into a quiet room, where there's nobody there and say, I'm king in this room. That's baloney. King over whom? King implies a nation, a country, or a group of people that accept your leadership, your authority. The Gemara says, Ein melech b'loy am. You can't have a king without a people. So for starters, you need people for a kingdom. Ve'ein ho'om yoidim ritzoinoi elo imkein kishahamelech megala machshavtoi ritzoinoi letoich diburoi. The only way that a king communicates to those that are accepting him as king, what he wants them to do, what he's ordering them to do, is through his mouth. Can they take a picture of his brain? Can they photograph his nose and figure out what he wants them to do? The answer is no way. The only way that a king shows his authority is through his mouth. Through his mouth, he communicates his ritzon, what he wants to see done. And we know, ritzonoi shel adam zehu kvoidoi. The Gemara says, what a person wants, that's how you show respect to him. And kvoid is synonymous with melech. Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusai Li'elam Voed, V'yavoi Melech HaKavoid. So this whole concept of Kavoid and Malchus is all dependent on the mouth. That's how the king communicates his Rotzain, what he wants. When he has it in his brain, let's say a king decides he wants his subjects to stand on their heads. until he verbalizes it, until he informs them through his mouth, he tells them that he wants this, it's not applicable. His kingdom is not working in any way at all. The whole concept of his authority is only displayed through his mouth, through his koyach hadibur. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas malchus peh. This is what a she'nimtza, we see from this, she'ikar hanhogas malchusoy, einoy el al yidei dibur. That the main concept of a king conducting a kingdom, showing authority, is only through dibur. Now Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas malchus peh. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh says that malchus corresponds to the peh, the mouth. Because kingdom is dependent on the mouth, on the whole koyach hadibur. V'zeh shonu royim shelefomim hoylech lodem shelek haseder. Rabbi Nizal says, this that we see sometimes, that things are not going regular for a person, that things are not going normal for a person, abnormal kind of things are happening to them. Why is that? Why is it that there are times when a person finds themselves in a bechina of shalei keseder, where nothing I'm doing is going right, or I see that I'm not being successful, I'm trying and trying to go in a certain direction, and I'm being led the opposite way? This concept of shalei keseder, why is it? Rabbi Nizal explains, ki shleimus shel kol hadvorim einoi elo kishehem yuchodim umekushorim boyesporach. Any item in this world, when is it considered to be complete? When it's attached to Hashem. The only way an item in this world can be shalem to any degree is only when it's bound and one with Hashem. Ki hashlemus v'hamilui hu hachius. Because when we talk about an item being full and being complete, that's the life of that item. When we say that the party was full, it was a complete, the party was complete, it means it was very lively, it was very alive. When we talk about any item, when we talk about a person being alive, it means he's shalem. Any item that's lacking in his being alive, a person who's missing a leg, chas v'shalom, or something else, that's subtracting. The lack of shlemus means a certain lack of chius. These two items are synonymous. Shlemus and chius, Rabbi Nizal says. Ki ever shenistalik mimenu achius azai nikro chisorin. Because when you have an organ in the body that dies, that's no longer alive, that organ is considered to be incomplete. It's missing. It's as if it's not there at all in the body. Person's hand is dead, the nerves inside are not working, the neshama inside is not active. For all intents and purposes, that hand is dead. It's not there. It's as if it was missing. The Gemara's expression, kemanda lesedomi, it's as if it's not there, period. Even though it's there, it's not there, because there's no chiyus to it. It's not alive. Rabbi Nizal says, v'hachiyus, what is the life of an item? It's the seichel of that item, the brain of that item. That chochma, seichel, gives life to one who has it. Chochma is a concept of humbleness. Mo, nothing. Koyach mo. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word chochma is actually two words. Koyach mo. It's the power of one who is an onov. Who's a chocham? There's a pasuk that says, v'ha chochma me'ayin timotze. How does a person get to chochma? By being a nothing, a nobody. Who is the biggest chacham in the world? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? V'ho'ish Moshe onov ma'id mikol adam ashal pnei adamo. The one that's most modest, that's the one that's the smartest. Rabbi Nizal explains now, v'ha'chochmo hi b'chinas mo. Chochmo is a concept of mo, nothing. Koyach mo. As the pasuk says, we say in the davening every day, mo me chayenu, ma koychenu, ma gvuraseinu, right? We say, ma koychenu. Mo is our strength. Mo chayenu. Mo is our life. Chochmo techayes. So we see how these things are connected. Rabbi Nizal says, umo hu odom. Mo is Adam, is man. We said that Adam is bigimatria 45, which is Ma. Ki leis Adam beloy Aleph. Because we know that the word Adam begins with an Aleph. Why? To show the connection between Adam and the Havaya b'milui alfin. What does Adam represent? It represents that name of Hashem that's b'alfin, that's with Alephs. Yud Kei Vav Kei, when filled out with Alephs, is Adam. Hainu Havaya b'milui, Kainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Achius Shel Kol Advorim. This means that Hashem is the life of everything. When we say HaChochma Techaya, that Chochma gives life, and we say, what is Chochma? Koyach Mo. And Mo is Hashem. Mo is Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Mili Alfin. It means Hashem is life. It means Hashem is the life and fullness of everything. Kemo Yishikosav, as the Pasuk says, V'ato Mechaya Es Kulam. You, Hashem, give life to everything. You, Hashem, give life to everything. Nimtza, we see from this that Zois Habachina Malchus Chavo Kishehi Mekusheres LaAdam LaBachina Tzmo Haynu LaKodesh Baruch Hu Azai Yesh Lo Shleimus. Rabbein Azal says we see from this that Malchus, which is synonymous with Chavo, when it's connected to Adam, which is the Bachina of Mo, which is Hashem, then the Malchus has a Shleimus to it. Chavo, when Chava is connected to Adam, that's when it has a shlemus to it. That's when it's considered to be alive. Just as the Malchus is only considered really to be alive when it has Chochma attached to it. The Gemara says that a king is only as good as his advisors are, as his Meichen are, as the Chochma is. Because HaChochma Techaya, without it, the Malchus is dead. It's nothing. Rabbein Azal says, "So when ki haseichel shehakodesh baruch hu shom b'hanhogas malchusoi bozeh hu mechaya oisa, because that seichel, when Hashem is present in a king conducting his kingdom, when Hashem is present in the form of a seichel that a king has in conducting his kingdom, bozeh hu mechaya oisa, that's how Hashem gives life to that kingdom, to that malchus. Kemo Yishikosav, as the pasuk says, HaChochma Techaya. Chochma gives life. So when we talk about a kingdom being alive, it's as alive as the Chochma that's inside of it. What is the Chochma that's inside of it? It's the Hashem that's inside of it. Because Hashem is Mo, Chochma is Koyach Mo. As much as Hashem is alive and injecting life, Chochma, into a Malchus, that's what determines how alive that Malchus is. Note, interestingly, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring a remez to this in the fact that you'll observe that in this word, Adam itself, Adam, which is Ma, which originates from Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Because we said that Yud Kei Vav Kei, when it's filled out bi'alfin, it's bigimatria Adam, right? The question is, what are the two parts consist of? You have the Yud Kei Vav Kei itself, and then you have the Miloi portion. In the Yud, the Miloi portion is the Vav Dalid. In the Hey, the Miloi portion is an Aleph. In the Vav, the Miloi portion is an Aleph Vav. The Miloi of Yud Kei Vav Kei, bi'alfin, is bigimatria Chava. So that Yud Kei Vav Kei plus Chava equals Adam. What does Yud Kei Vav Kei represent? Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the Zohar, the Mashpia, the Vi'ato Mechaya Es Kulam, Hashem who is giving life, giving Chiyas into everything. This Yud Kei Vav Kei, when attached to Chava, forms Adam. This is the secret where the Pasuk says, Zohar Unekevo Bera'om, Vayikro Shemom Adam. Hashem created them male and female, and he called them Adam. How do you call them Adam? Adam is singular. The answer is that within Adam is found the secret of Zohar and Nekeva. Adam, the word Adam, 45, is composed of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a Bechin of Zohar, compared to Elikim, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Ekeh, which are all Bechinas Nukva. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Zohar, plus Chava, which is 19, together is Bigimatria 45, which is Adam. So now Rabbi Nizal says, V'zehu Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloyo. This is one of the explanations of this sentence, Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloyo. Rabbi Nizal explains, Kishe Ha'oretz Hainu Bechinas Chava Malchus Mikusheres Lashem Azai Hu B'maloyo U'Bishleimus. Eretz represents Malchus. In Torah Dalet, Rabbi Nizal brings a pasuk, the Eretz miskoyim amaloi. The land is what stood him up, is what gave him his authority. When we talk about a king is usually known for his vast properties. A lot of land, a lot of real estate represents memshola. The king is the ruler over the land. If he has a land to rule over, then he's a king. If he's ruling over no place, without a place, a king without a place is not a king. So the Eretz represents Malchus. Lashem, Ha'oretz, when the Malchus is attached to Hashem, then it's Umaloyo, then it's Bimilua, then it's Sholem, it's complete, because it has this Chiyas being infused into it, being shined into it. Okay, so when is the Malchus considered to be Bimaloya, Bishlamus? When it's connected to Hashem, when it's receiving this Chiyas, this injection of Chochmo, Koyachmo, this Ma Koychenu, Me Chayenu, etc. Rabbi Nizal says now, Umi Shemechalik Bechinas Chavo, Malchus, Liatzmoi, any individual who dares to take this Chavo, to take this Malchus to himself, She'oimer ano emloich. The person says, I want to be the boss, I want to rule, I want to be a king. Bozeh hu mechalek u'mafrid oitzo me'akadosh baruch hu. By doing that, he's separating and cutting off the Malchus from Hashem. We know that we say, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem moloch geyus lovesh. Hashem is king. When you try to take kingdom to yourself, you're taking away something that belongs to Hashem, and you're cutting it off from Hashem. You're separating the kingdom from Hashem, chas v'shalom. Azai eino bishleimus. Then the Malchus becomes pogum. It's incomplete. Ki ikar chiyuso mo. Because the main chiyus of the Malchus is this mo, this power of Hashem. Hainu ha-sechel, referring to the power of sechel. Mo represents the sechel. Mo chayenu, ha-chochmo techaye. You understand? So mo is called chayenu, and chochmo is called chayenu, sechel. So both of those are synonymous. We mentioned once that the Arizal says that the word mo, odom, is bigimatria 3 times Yud-Kei. We know that which letters within Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represent the Sechel, the Moichin, the Yud and the Kei. The Yud and Kei represent Keser Chochma Bina. 3 times Yud-Kei, representing the 3 spheres, Chochma Bina Das, or Keser Chochma Bina, 3 times Yud-Kei is bigimatria Odom, Mo. Because Mo represents Sechel. This HaChochma Me'ayin Temotze. Mo is nothing, and Sechel is nothing in a sense. It's intangible. It's an intangible item. Rabbi Nizal says, V'zeh, this is Pshat in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, where the Pasuk says, Ki b'chol chachmei hagoyim, u'v'chol malchusom me'ein kamoicha. Within all the wisdom of the goyim, and within their kingdom, me'ein kamoicha. You, Hashem, are not to be found. You, Hashem, are absent from there. Meaning, Pirush, Sichlom ein kol kach godol lahachyois es malchusam. Why does it say ki b'chol chachmei agoyim u'b'chol malchusam? What's the connection there? The chachma and the malchus. Rabbi Nizal says this implies that their sechel is not powerful enough to feed their malchus. Malchus needs to be fed with chachma. Rabbein Ezal says, "Ukeshehu mechalekes hamalchus liatzmoi," and when a person starts being a big shot, a balgaiva, and he takes this kingdom to himself, azai hoylechloi sheloi keseder. What happens? Malchus chava is the bechin of sheloi keseder, right? When you dare to take that to yourself, chas v'shalom, then the person starts falling into a bechina of shelo keseder. Things start going upside down for him, backwards for him. Kihu betoich bechinas shelo keseder, because he has placed himself within a status of shelo keseder. Malchus, by its nature, is shelo keseder. The word melech, mem lamed chof. Malchus is shelo keseder. Backwards, 40, 30, 20. Malchus, by its nature, is this bechina shelo keseder. When it's in Hashem's control, and the Malchus is attached to the Chochmah, it's attached to the Seichel, it's in place. Everything is functioning and flowing beautifully. When a person takes this Malchus to himself, he throws himself into a bechina of upside down. Things start going for him in reverse, chas v'shalom. Rabbein Ezal says, Hainu Malchus Chavo Tashrak, meaning the person puts himself in this backwards Bechina, Malchus, which is synonymous with Chavo, which is this concept of Tov Shin Reish Kuf, backwards. Ukeshezois HaBechina Chavo, Himekusheres LaHaOdom, and when this concept of Chavo is attached to Odom, who is Odom in this case? Hainu LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem is called Adam? Yes. Throughout the Zohar HaKadosh and other Sforim, Kaviyocho, Hashem is called Adam HaElyon. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel which says, Val HaKisei Dumus Kemare Adam Olav Milmola. Kaviyochel, it says, if we could say that the image that Yecheskel and Avi saw sitting on the throne was the image of a human being, not chas v'shalom that Hashem has any human form. That's the way it's presented to us. That's the way we understand it. So Rabbein Ezal says now, Ukeshezois habechino chavo, himekusheres laha'odom. When this concept of chavo is connected to Odom, hainu lakodesh baruch hu, it is connected to Hashem, azai hoylech loy keseder, then everything goes okay. Why? If chavo represents shelo keseder, I don't care what you connect it to. Whatever you're connecting it to, it should hurt that item. The answer is no, because we have a very basic yesod here in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, ki ba'asar de'is dechar nukve lo yidkar tamon. When you have a woman can be called Leah Rosenfeld. She can be called by whatever name, whatever family she comes from. When she joins with a man, when she gets married, and she is nisyached with a man, does her name exist anymore? Her name goes poof. Her name disappears. Ba'asar de'is dechar nukfo le'id kartamon. When there's male and female, the female has no name. She assumes the name of her husband, which means when the bechina of shelo keseder is connected to keseder, then it fades out completely. It loses its power of shelo keseder. This is the whole secret why we have this rule. How did this come about? That when a woman gets married, she's called by the husband's last name. Why? Who invented this? Some American cook? Some Frenchman? The answer is this is based on the Zohar HaKadosh. This is based on the concept, the reason why Hashem created male and female, Zohar and Akeva, Chesed and Din. So because we need Chesed and we need Din at certain times. What's the whole beauty? When the Din becomes blended in with the Chesed and it loses its identity, it becomes Nichla within the Chasodim. When the Shelo Keseder gets woven in, gets merged with the Keseder, then it also becomes Keseder. So Rabbein Ezal says, Nimtzo ki bechino is chavo, sheloi keseder, nizbatlin al yedei ha'odom keseder. So we see from this that the concept of chavo, which is a concept of sheloi keseder, becomes butel, becomes nullified, al yidei ha'odom, through Adam, which is the concept of kiseder. Period. This is chapter one. This is paragraph one. This is one unit of the total picture that Rabbeinu Zal's building here now. We're going to continue. I want to try to avoid, we'll take questions at the end. Even after we finish all of these components, you're going to have a lot of basic information that we're going to tie together very, very well. And then we'll take out the Likutei Halachos. Suddenly all of this information becomes tangible. Suddenly we see this applying and explaining the laws of Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah Shofar, hundreds of things that come up in Yiddishkeit, mitzvahs, everything that are governed based on these yesodos, based on this, on the foundations that are established here. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ubechinas Keseder Mikro Yud. The concept of Keseder is called by the letter Yud. Shemalchus hanikro dalid leslo migarmo klum. We know that Malchus is known by the letter dalid, the Zohar HaKadosh says. Why? Malchus, let's explain a little bit now. The Zohar HaKadosh says that you have, let's talk about the sun and the moon. The sun, the Shemesh, is loaded with light. The moon has no light at all whatsoever. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the leslo migarmo klum. It has nothing on its own whatsoever, except what it receives from the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. This word, deles, it has nothing, is synonymous with dalus, poor, poverty. The moon represents something that's poor. It has no light. The sun, on the other hand, is filled with light, which means the sun represents chokhmah. Chokhmas odom to'ir ponov, the pasuk says, that the knowledge of a person lights up his face. Kiner mitzvah v'toira oir. Light always represents a concept of chokhmah. So the sun represents a concept of chokhmah, a concept of zohar, a mashpia. The sun shines light to the sun, to the moon. The moon, on the other hand, represents the female. It has no light of its own. Can a woman give birth on her own? Impossible. Unless she receives from the zohar, unless she receives from her husband. This deleslo migarmo klum, it has nothing on its own. It's poor, except for what it receives from the husband. Note, the Sifrei Kabbalah say, you'll note that that's why the word levona is Rosh Tevois Lamed Beis Nesivus HaChochmah. The Sefer Yetzirah begins with the words that there are 32 paths of knowledge found where? In the Torah. The Torah begins with the Beis of Bereishis, and ends with the Lamed of Le'enei Kol Yisrael. That makes up the totality of the 32 paths of Chochmah. This is why the Pasuk says in Nach, Va'a'alefcha Chochmah. I will teach you Chochmah. What's Va'a'alefcha? That's the letter Aleph. There's tremendous accent on the letter Aleph. Why the letter Aleph? Because the letter Aleph teaches us the secret of wisdom. You have what's known as the wisdom teeth, right? This concept of a wisdom tooth. The teeth are associated with wisdom. There are Lamed Beis Shinayim, 32 teeth, 16 above, 16 below. The Zohar HaKadosh says this conforms to the shape of the letter Aleph. You take a look at the way an Aleph is drawn, there's a Yud on top, there's a Yud below, in the middle you have a Vav that's shared by both of them. You have Yud Vav and Yud Vav, 16 and 16, making up 32. That's this Va'a'alefcha Chochmah. In the Aleph is the Soid of Chochmah, the secret of Chochmah. That's this concept of the sun and the moon. The sun shines its light and knowledge to the moon, which receives, which has nothing on its own at all whatsoever. The leslo migarmo klum, it has nothing except what it receives from the sun. That's why it's known by this letter dalit. Dalit is deles. Deleslo migarmo klum, this dalus, poverty. David is the symbol of Malchus. The Sifrei Kabbalah say we have the sentence, V'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. What does that mean? That out of all the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu, all the 12 Shvatim, which one did Hashem choose to place his name upon? Yehuda. Why? Why? Why not on Yosef? Why not on this one? Because the pasuk says, "V'hoyo Hashem lemelech." Hashem will place himself upon the king. From whom does King David come from? From Shevet Yehuda. That's the word Yehuda is actually Yud Kei Vav Kei plus the Dalid. The Dalid represents Dover HaMelech. The Dalid represents Malchus, the four Ragli HaMerkova, the four legs of the throne of Hashem. Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, Dover HaMelech is called the Regel HaRevi. The four Sudois of Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shalashuris, Malava Malka is called Dohi Sudosa, the David Malka, the meal of King David, the fourth Suda, the Malchus, is always Dalit. So Rabbein Azal says, Ubechinas Keseder Nikro Yud. The concept of Keseder is called a Yud. The total picture of Keseder is a Yud. Why? Shem Malchus HaNikro Dalit, Malchus, which is called Dalit. Deles lomigar moklum, because it has nothing on its own except what it receives. V'hakodesh Baruch Hu mamshich lochius hachochmo hanikro yud. Hashem shines into the malchus life from chochmo, which is called yud. Chochmo is called yud. Which sphera is chochmo? If malchus is step one, what is chochmo? Chochmo is the tenth one, right? Chachma is the tenth one. V'zeh Yud, this is the secret. Within the letter Yud, when it's written b'miloi, it's a Yud, a Vav, and a Dalid. The Vav represents a pipe, a channel, a tzinor. Yud represents the Yud flowing into the Dalid. The Yud, Vav, Dalid represents the light of Chachma flowing into and shining into the Malchus. The light of the sun being channeled into the moon. V'ze ochor vokedem tzartoni v'toshes olai kapecho. Rabbein Azal says, this is the secret of this pasuk, where Odom Rishon says, Hashem, you created me front and back, and you placed upon me your hands. Kapecho means your hands. Rabbein Azal says, al tikri kapecho elo chofcha. Kapecho is the letter chof. You placed upon me chaf. What is chaf? Hainu yud vav dalid gematria chaf. The miloy of the word yud is bigematria chaf. This concept of ochor vokedem, keseder and shiloy keseder, chochma and malchus, the sun and the moon, Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh, are all this concept of the yud and the dalid, the mashpia and the mekabel, which goes via this pipe, the Vav, together it's Bigimatria 20, Yud Vav Dalet. That's this Kapecho, Hashem, you placed upon me this Chof. The Chof is what connects the Ocher to the Kedem, the Shaloi Keseder to the Keseder, the Chava to the Odom. Ukishemechalik es hadalid liatzmoi. And when a person tries to draw the Dalet onto himself, he doesn't want to do things in the right order. He wants to grab Malchus himself when he's not really worthy of it. Umamshich liatzmoi chiyus mimeno. And he takes on to himself the life that's going into this Malchus. Azai nasis loy shaloi keseder. What happens? Things start going upside down for him. The Yud Vav Dalet becomes upside down and it becomes Davoi. Davoi means sickness. Davoi means sadness, depression. It means sadness, and it also means sickness. Both words. Al eres davoi. Hashem yisodenu al eres davoi. Hashem sustains me on my sick bed. Miyud nase davoi. From the letter Yud, which represents the proper flow from Chochma to Malchus, it gets reversed. It gets reversed, and it becomes Dalet Vav Yud, this davoi. This is where the pasuk says that the person's whole heart becomes filled with this depression, with this sickness. Rabbein Azal says, when things start going upside down for a person, abnormal, things start happening abnormally. That's what makes a person sick at heart. A person becomes frustrated. That term, frustrated. As the pasuk says, Toicheles memoishecha. This concept where things start going upside down for a person results in this toichel, this machla, this sickness. Rabbein Azal says, whenever a person sees that things are not going right for them, that things aren't happening properly for them, yeda, the person should know, sheyesh loy gadlus, that the person has arrogance. The person has gaiva. He's too much. He's trying to be too much of a boss or an authority. He's taking the malchus himself in a way that he's not supposed to. Hainu ano emloich. The person's saying, "I want to be king. I want to be the boss." And what should he do? And that's what's causing him to have this shaloika seder. Because malchus, by its nature, is shaloika seder. And when everything is being done kosher, when the malchus is plugged in properly to the chachma and everything, then everything's cool. Then it's ba'asar distchar nukvaleit kartamon. The shaloika seder becomes bottle to the keseder. But when a person takes the malchus on himself improperly, when he doesn't deserve it, chas v'shalom, then it gets flipped around. The Yud Vav Dalet becomes Dalet Vav Yud, and it results in sickness, it results in atzvus, in depression, and it results in a bechin of shaloi keseder. What should he do? When a person observes this, what should they do? Yase tshuva, the person should do tshuva, v'yashpil es atzmai, and the person should lower himself. What's the main thing of tshuva? Why do we fast for tshuva? Why do we put on sackcloth? Why do we sit on the floor? The main yesod of tshuva is to humble you. The Gemara says, "Toiv mardus echod b'liboy shel adam." One broken feeling within a person's heart is better than all the fasting and all the everything else. The main theme behind of tshuva is anova. The fact that you had the chutzpah, the audacity, the gaiva to go against Hashem. How do you fix that? By humbling yourself before Hashem. By lowering yourself, showing that you do accept upon yourself the kingdom of Hashem. When Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas, what happened to him? Hashem pressed him down. He became smaller. The Medrash says originally he was Misaifa, he was way, way up, he was hundreds of feet tall, and he was able to see Misaifa Ilam Vatsaifa. After the chet, after the pigam of the Eitz Hadas, Hashem lowered him. One of the pirushim is that Hashem placed his hands on Adam Arishan and pushed him down, lowered him, humbled him. And the person should make himself become a bechina of mo, a bechina of nothing. As the pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, what did they do when they saw that things weren't going right for them? When the things were going upside down? That here they were doing the Jews all kinds of favors and everything and giving them everything they could? And the Jews turn around and want to bite the hand that's feeding them. How did Moshe Rabbeinu respond to this when he saw this bechina of Shalika Seder? He said, "V'nachnu mo kisalino aleinu." We are nothing. Why are you starting up with us? Why are you battling us? We are nothing. Why did he say it at that time? The answer is because he saw that there was a bechina of shalika seder in effect at the time. Va'azai nachzor chavo lebechinas odom lebechinas mo v'nasik seder. And what happens is when a person does humble himself and lower himself, then the chavo, the malchus, does get plugged into this mo. Then the chavo does get plugged into this mo, this adam, and things become keseder. Hainu ochor vokedem, the ochor and kedem do get put together properly. Kapecho hainu yud, and the kapecho, the chav, represents the shlemus of this yud vav dalet coming together in its proper sequence. Period. Chapter 2, paragraph 2. Rabbein Azal says, V'ikar ha-tshuva hu b'chodesh Elul. The main time for tshuva is during the month of Elul. Ki heim yemei rotzayim. Those are days when Hashem wants us very, very much. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim after the Yidden had worshipped the Egel HaZohov, and he got Hashem to forgive the Yidden completely. And on Rosh Chodesh Elul is when Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the last time of his three trips to heaven. He went up, and it was during that last 40 days that Hashem forgave the Yidden completely. And on Yom Kippur, which was the 40th day, is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from heaven and brought with him the second set of luchos, which showed that Hashem had forgiven them completely. Uposach derech kevusha leilichba. And Moshe Rabbeinu opened up a highway on which Balei Tshuva could go on, a very well-trodden path for which people could do tshuva. What v'haderech she'osa Moshe hu kach? What's the highway that Moshe Rabbeinu built for Balei Tshuva, for people to do tshuva? Shem Moshe kosher kisher es atzmoi afilu lepochei shebiyisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to attach himself even to the lowest yid, umosar nafshoy aleihem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to put his life on the line even for the lowest Jew, or even when the Jews were at their lowest point. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to lay his life on the line for them. K'moshe kosev, as the pasuk says, ve'im ayin mocheinina. Hashem, if you are not willing to forgive the Jews, kill me. He was willing to give his own life for the Yidden, even after they had just worshipped the Egel HaZohav, even after they just did the worst avera possible, he was still not going to let them go. The captain of the ship saw the ship sinking. He wasn't going to jump off and save himself. He wanted to stay with the ship, no matter what he could do to rescue this sinking ship. V'zeh pirush, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu assembled all the Yidden. Rabbein Azal says, Shemoshe hoya me'aseif u'me'yached u'me'kasher es atzmoi im kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together and tied himself tightly to all the Yidden. Afilu im ha'pochei shebebchusim. Even the lowest of the lowest ones, even them, he attached himself to. V'zeh pirish, this is why the pasuk says in Tehillim, Kuloi sog yachdov. Kuloi sog yachdov. Rabbein Azal explains, Afilu kishani roye echod mi Yisrael shesog mikoil. Even when I see a yid who has fallen away, he dropped everything, he has become removed. Tasig gvul, to be masig gvul, means to move or to remove. Even when I see a yid who is sog kuloi, he's completely removed from Hashem, he's gone as far away as he can, still yachdov, I attach myself to him. Even when I see a yid who has drifted away from everything, from Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu still felt, I must be with that Jew. I can't forsake him. I can't leave him. I have to stand by him. Tzorich liyached ulekasher imoy. I must bind myself to him. Like Moshe Rabbeinu did. Because Hashem is to be found, there is heavenliness even in the lowest level. Even within the 10 crowns of Tumah, just as there are 10 spheros of Kiddusha, Lahavdil, there are what are known as the Eser Kisrin the Mesavusa, the 10 crowns of the Soton, of Tumah, of Klipa, 10 spheros of Klipa, Rachmona Litzlan. And even there, Hashem is to be found. What are they called? Elokim Acherim, the Zohar HaKadosh says. There are some people that say, you're allowed to say over there, Aleph Lamed Hey, you're allowed to pronounce the Hey. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Chas V'Shalom. Because the word Elokim over there means Hashem. Because even those items are drawing from Hashem. Even idols, what makes people respect them? What makes a person bow down to this? The fact that it does have some tiny microscopic part of the kavod of Hashem in it. As the pasuk says, Lekayem u'malchusoi bakoil mashallah. Hashem's kingdom rules everywhere, over everything. There doesn't exist a place where the kingdom of Hashem isn't to be found. Maloichol oretz kavodoi. Rabbi Nizal says, V'zeh bechinas chirik. This is the concept of the nekuda of chirik, the vowel called chirik. As the Tikkun Ezer says, Kamashi Kosov, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, U'bechirik, That Kaviyochel, when the Shekhinah takes its role of ruling over the Rishoim, over those people that are very, very low, when the Shekhinah lowers itself to attach itself even to those Jews that are very, very low, that's when it takes on the form of a chirik, which is found on bottom of the letter. The Zohar Kodesh gives a whole beautiful analogy to show the relationship between a zohar and a keva, a husband and wife, how it's all symbolized by how the vowels in the aleph beis are. Note, in the aleph beis you have a chaylam. What is a chaylam? A vav with a dot on top of it. You have a shuruk. You have a shuruk, which is a vav with a dot inside of it. It's called a shuruk in kubitz. You have what's called a malupum. Malupum is a vav where the dot is inside, in the middle, equal level to the vav. Then you have a chirik where the dot moves below the letter. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this represents the relationship between the Zohar and the Keva. The letter Vav represents Zohar. In Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Vav represents Zeranpin. The Vav represents Tiferes, which is Zohar. The He at the end represents the Malchus, the Shekhinah. The Dat represents the Malchus. We say in Shir HaShirim, Shchoira ani v'noavo b'nois Yerushalayim, that the Malchus, the Shekhinah, is compared to something that's all black, like a dot that's completely black, no light within itself. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when a husband and wife are associated with each other, it's supposed to be hulamalo v'hilamato. That's when the chirik is below the letter, below the vav. Then we have a concept of a husband and wife being equal. A wife can rise to a level, the Zohar Kodesh brings a pasuk to prove it, I don't remember the pasuk offhand right now, where there is a concept of a woman being side by side with her husband, taking an equal role in terms of rising in Kedusha. Then the Zohar Kodesh says, there's a pasuk that says, Eshes Chayil, Ateres Bala. A woman of valor is the crown of her husband. Where is a crown worn? On top of the head. That's the chaylam. The chaylam is where the dot is on top of the vav. You have these three levels. So the chirik, in any case, the dot represents the malchus, the nukva, the chava, which can take one of three positions, either below, equal, or above. Rabbi Nizal says when the Shekhinah is ruling over the lower elements, that's when it takes on this form of the chirik, which appears below, low down as the Shekhinah wants to go, in this form of chirik. La'an chasolo l'sato, to rule below, la'am l'cho al taton, where the Shekhinah shows its authority over the lower elements. Nemtza, Rabbi Nizal says, what do we see from here? Shebepochis miYisrael yeshloi bevadai ezelakus, that even in the lowest yid there does exist heavenliness. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, even with him, I can join with him. I can bind myself to the elikus that's found inside of him, to the heavenliness in him. Even a yid who is kulay sog, who's completely turned away, yachtov, I still attach myself to him. I still bind myself to him. That's item number one. That's one ingredient that Moshe Rabbeinu possessed that made him Moshe Rabbeinu, that allowed him to carve, to create a highway for Balei Tshuva. His attitude of saying that there's nobody that's too low for me to associate with, that's what created this Derech Kivusha for Tshuva. We'll stop over here for now. Next week we're going to continue with the second Bechina that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Baruch Hashem. Questions? That's why I explained in the beginning of the shir, you see how when the pasuk says Zohar Unekeva Bara'am, Hashem created Adam and Chava, male and female, Vayikra Shmom Adam, and he called them Adam. Oh yeah? Chava is called Adam? Yeah, because in the word Adam, you have Chava. The word Adam is Begematria 45, which is a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei plus Chava. So we see how Chava loses her identity and becomes integrated into Adam.
King of Kaf, where we were in the previous sefer, that this Keser, again, it's going to this union of Esrim here.
Right.
Here, this is touch like Kapech.
Right.
This is Kaf, then you have Keser.
Here, for now, Rabbi Nizal is using the Chaf to refer to the Spechina of the Yud Vav Dalet. Naturally, this all represents the highest levels of Kedusha. But for now, let's just take it exactly the way Rabbi Nizal is presenting it. He's talking about the Hemshech from Chachma to Malchus, from Yud, from the 10th Sphira down to the Malchus. We know that it has to go back up also, the 20 levels.
That's why we said when a person goes to Malchus for himself first, as opposed to coming down, it comes up, the down, and then back up.
Right.
But when you're reversing, it becomes the Davoy.
Exactly.
When you grab the Malchus to try to go up.
Exactly. No, Tashem Yisodenu, al Eres Davoy. What is Eres? Eser. Also, this 10 being flipped around, being reversed, being made upside down, lopsided.
Oh, in the beginning, in the first paragraph, it said, the Goyim, with all the advice they have, Hashem should leave them alone.
Not should leave them. Ki b'chol chachmei ha-goyim, u'b'chol malchusam ein kamecha. In all their wisdom and in all their kingdom, Hashem is not there.
So they have like a drop of kingdom that Hashem gave them.
Right.
Why should Hashem leave them, kill them all out? They have like one bit of say.
Very, very little. That's the point. The point Rabbi Nizal is making is very, very little. Because they don't really accept Hashem. That's what it boils down to. Because they don't believe in Hashem and accept Hashem, that lack of seichel is what makes their kingdom weak. It's make-believe kingdom. They're not really kings. Pasuk says, "Oz yomru v'goyim hidla Hashem l'asis emeila." There's going to come a time when the goyim are going to admit that higdil Hashem, all the gedula that Hashem gave us, was l'asis emeila, was really for the yidden. It was a fake-out. It's just make-believe. It looked as if the goyim were on top, and it looked as if they were the bosses of the world. Really, it was a pure joke. It wasn't anything like that. Coming to us, give me man, give me there, give me. Rechavam saw that the people were revolting, so he asked his advisors, "What should I do?" Remember the story? So he went to the older people. They said to him, "You better pull back. You better take it easy. You better lower taxes, because when Shlomo HaMelech was in charge, people had such respect for him, and there was such wealth at the time. People were willing to pay such high taxes. Now things aren't so great. You better go easy on them." He went to the younger people, and the younger people told him, "No, the people are being bad. You say you're going to double the taxes, and you show them who's boss." The Navi says, what happened? He started getting tough with them, and they killed him. They wiped him out. That was the end of his malchus. Why? Because when a melech sees that there's a bechin of shalika seder, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to humble himself. He's supposed to lower himself because it shows that at that moment he's not roy to show this big display of bossiness, of authority.